I'd like to share with you from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 12. 2 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 6. Listen to these words for the word of our Lord. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in the middle of a five-Sunday series on prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. So since we're in the middle, you know that today is about gifts. It's about asking God for the greatest of gifts and recognizing the gifts that God has already planted within us and using them for God's glory. As we come into the fall, we recognize that we're headed toward a new year. Maybe you haven't really thought much about that yet. Here we are in September, and it's hard to imagine our vocabulary would include the word or the number 2018, but we're getting very close to that. And so it's good for us to begin to think about a new year and how we give of our resources. You know, we promised that when we joined. We promised to support the work of the church with our prayers, our presence, our giving, our service, and our witness. And I know this first service crowd, I'm preaching to the choir here as far as giving. You're the most faithful ones. And yet, you alone, and with God's inspiration, decide what it means for you to be faithful, what it means for you to give what God is calling you to give. And that's not my business or usher's business or anybody else. It's between you and God. And I hope that you'll consider and prayerfully consider what to give, what to return to God in 2018. Some of you can remember a time when you've stretched yourselves to give generously and found that somehow it became a struggle to keep up, or that somehow it became a particular blessing to you. Somehow the gift that you made, the sacrifice that you made, turned into a blessing for you. Maybe it was to the working of good in the world, or to yourself, or in the best of times, to both. We are blessed people, there's no doubt about that. We're blessed not for privilege, but we are blessed to become a blessing for others. We're blessed not just to enjoy it, but we're blessed for purpose. It's important that we give hope to people, that we give help to people, that we give forgiveness to others. And there's no doubt that when we give, we receive. When we are at this time of year, we consider all that God has done and is doing in our midst, and we examine how we can continue to respond to that in the years to come, in the year to come. While we can never outgive or outlove the Lord, we do make plans to give back to God, and in so doing, we return a portion as an offering. In Old Testament times, it might have been a lamb or cow or a calf. Or sometimes it might be to help widows and orphans or even hurricane victims. I had the privilege of being in a significant place during the Katrina storms. I was pastor at Lakeway United Methodist Church in Pottsboro. And during the Katrina episode and the Rita aftermath, which you'll remember, there were a lot of people moving north in the state of Texas, and many of them got all the way up to Pottsboro. Not so many with Katrina, but in the second level when Rita came, people had to go farther because all the places were full along the way. That storm just a short time later. And while I served in Pottsboro up near Sherman Denison area, we were very close to the Methodist camp at Texoma. We call it the Prothro Center now, Texoma Conference Center. And it's a pretty sweet place, but its address is in Pottsboro. It's up on the north part of Pottsboro, right about to fall off into the lake. But it's very close to the church. And so we conducted services there. And we had, during the Rita episode, we had more than 100 people that were staying there at the Methodist camp, free of charge, of course, and with meals provided, because they were rushing to find a way, a place to stay apart from where the storms were hitting. They were rushing to find a place to call home, and we had to punt. But we tried our very best to give them a sense of home. We went out to the camp and we conducted services on Saturdays and Sundays in English and in Spanish. And we helped to provide meals, and even some people stayed in homes of church members. Quite a story. And now here we are with a second set of storms in our current affairs, our current news in our nation. And so who knows what we'll get to do. It seems like the first wave of people haven't made it up this far, but I did get to talk to Bo out at the conference center at the Methodist camp, and they are ready to receive company. They are ready to provide places, and with a second wave of storm evacuees, there may be some that come this way. I don't know. We'll be ready for them. They'll be in need of a place to stay and in need of meals and probably a lot of other things. It was an honor to serve there and to lead worship there and to meet those people and to make new friends there and to gather the things that we gathered, including a semi-truck load of water to carry down to Baton Rouge area. Counting Bridgeport, which I'm proud to count, Kathy and I have now gotten to serve in both of the North Texas communities where we have a conference camp, camping center, Bridgeport and Texoma. And that's a privilege. I've spent time at both of those with youth events and confirmation classes, and it's been rich over the years to worship there and to lead others in worship and in teaching. But you may not know this, but our Methodist camp, at least the one here in Bridgeport, is listed with FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Authority, as a resource for people that are seeking refuge. And as I said, we haven't had anybody yet, but we may. It's significant that receiving the stranger is a mark of discipleship in Jesus' eyes. Discipleship means following Jesus, and Jesus certainly welcomed the stranger. We see that in the text that we've read today. And in addition to all that, this week we get to open our doors to the Food Pantry Express. What greater privilege could we have than sharing a gift of food, a few meals, some wholesome vegetables to cook and provide meals for families? There'll be 100 or more families through our doors this Thursday morning who come for that kind of help, that kind of food, and that kind of gift. They'll receive fresh items, vegetables, fruits. Sometimes, rarely, we have meats, sometimes milk or juices. What a joy it is to give away those things, fresh produce, fresh food, things that people can actually eat, wholesome things that they can put on their table and serve to their family. And from the very youngest of our children who help with that event, it's our responsibility and our privilege to feed people, to offer a gift of bread in the name of Christ. Whether in his mother's arms or as only a mother can feed a child, or in her father's arms who's holding a baby bottle, food is important, and feeding someone else is a privilege. As we came to the table last Sunday, we know that feeding is a part of the story of God's people, from the manna in the wilderness to the broken bread at the table of Jesus and his disciples, where Jesus said, "This is my body given for you." But what do we give? Most everything that we give is translated somehow into dollars. Dollars that enable us to put on a tailgate party like we did this week at our first home football game. On second thought, much of what we gave Friday night was in terms of time and energy rather than dollars. There was a lot of people there helping. And my mother taught me to say the magic words. She called them magic words, and I think they do have some magic. Those words, thank you. And I thank you for being the church and for being the church in our community and in our world, in our state, where everywhere people are in need. But in this part of our vow of membership, prayers, presents, giving that we celebrate today, we are called to continually give and to give thanks. We give thanks with a grateful heart for what God has shared with us, and we willingly and willfully share it with others. So on behalf of the church, thank you for all you do. And on behalf of the faith, I say thank you. On behalf of caring for and loving on our neighbors right here in this little corner in Bridgeport, Texas, I say thank you. We are called to give thanks with a grateful heart. That's just obeying Scripture, and it's good medicine as well. A grateful heart just beats better. It goes around all its bends and its curves and its excitement and boredom and fear and remembering and reminiscing. All those things that we say that our heart does, and it just keeps on beating. Praise the Lord. But that only lasts for so long. Have you thought about the fact that each time your heart beats, it brings you one beat closer to the last time? I don't mean to be morbid, but I mean to say we don't know how many heartbeats we have. We just don't know. So maybe we should treat each beat, each one, as if it were our last. It could be. Death is not the enemy, for when we die, God cares for us just like when we were born. But it seems like it's true that the sermon text today calls us to give. gratefully. The picture on the front of our bulletin today is Amy picks these, and she does a great job. I used to want to have a last right of refusal on the bulletin cover in the past, but now I've kind of gotten to where I just trust Amy, because this is good. God calls us to, each of us, give what we have, not reluctantly, for God loves a cheerful giver. That is just good wisdom, and it's good scripture as well. Yesterday, I met a friend in Denton for lunch, and to share some pictures of both our vacation trips that we took this summer, his and mine. We ate lunch at the Lone Star Attitude on the south side of the square, and we managed to get there on a day when they had the square frozen shut because of a car show. So we walked around and looked at the old classic vehicles, and eventually we migrated down to University of North Texas, where we went into the student center at the Music Building, which is my old stomping ground 30, well, maybe 40 years ago. And we sat on a Saturday afternoon in the lounge in the Music Building, pretty much by ourselves. There were a few others that passed by, but nobody else stopped. Maybe we ran them off. But we sat, he showed me his vacation pictures, I showed him mine. Both of us were giving, and both of us were receiving a blessing. Each of us had received the blessing of safe travel over really long distances this summer, and each of us had spent significant time with beloved parents. I say that not to pat us on the back for giving back to our parents, but to say that it's often in giving or in giving back that we receive the most blessing. And that kind of giving comes from gratitude. It comes from the grateful hearts that we have for what God has given to us. And that is our motivation for giving back. Not so that we can float some program that we care about. Not so that we can examine our giving record and find ourselves satisfied with how much we gave. But we give to enable the ministries that reach out to those people that we care about and some that we have not yet met. So I congratulate us on that, not to pat us on the back, but to say that often when we give, we receive a double blessing. Well, I'm preaching to the choir here this morning. I know that. You're among the most faithful. All of you are community servants in some way or another. You have a role to play. You receive and you give. It has to go both ways, doesn't it? But the natural order of things sometimes gets overcorrected. We think we give and we think we have earned the right to receive. That's where we fall off the rails. Really, the way it is in the proper order is that we give out of what we have already received. Whether it's time or talents or prayers or presents or gifts or serving, we give out of the wealth of what we have been given, what has been entrusted toward us. And as we edge toward a new year and make our financial commitments to the Lord and to the church and its ministries, let us give generously as we have already been generously blessed. Let us give, each of us, with a cheerful heart, a grateful heart, and recognize that God, through Jesus Christ, is the great and first giver. Let us pray.